I'm going to be in God's will. Everything's going to be great. Life's going to be wonderful. This is going to be so good. And then I started to read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs. 11 of the 12 disciples were killed for their faith. This is actually a relationship to God is dying to self, dying to the world, and from time to time, dying in our physical body. It's a message of death that has great hope.
Today's Regaining Lost Ground is from a message titled, You've Been Served, Now What? Today, Pastor Shane talks about what it means to be called out by God for service and what to do next. From Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
And I'm feeding myself, and then, well, Shane said I need to pray this morning, and you're going to get up and try to pray tomorrow. Good luck, because what's coming out is what you've been putting in. Unless your prayer life says this tomorrow morning, God, I've been so wrong. I've drifted from you. My prayers are dead. They are cold. I don't know what to say. God, would you light this fire inside of me? Oh, he'll answer that prayer. If I were you, I'd get that song, Fill Me Up, and hit the repeat button 10 times. I can already see the emails coming in. That's brainwashing. No. You've been brainwashed to think you don't need to ponder and get your heart right before God. So you only got a few claps on that one because... Let it rain. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. God, fill me up. God, fill me up. Please, God, fill me up. It's a heart cry. Fill me up. God, would you fill me up? God, fill my children up. Fill my marriage up. Oh, God, I'm dry. I'm dead. I need to be filled up with your spirit. God, give me that boldness. Get me over this health issue. God, your word is dead to me. My prayers are lifeless. My life is falling apart. I don't even know you. Church is boring. God, fill me up. God, would you fill me up? I lay here prostrate before you on the floor. I humble myself before you. God, I need to be filled with your spirit. I desire that above my necessary food. Then watch out. That prayer will be answered. That's the type of prayer God answered. He says, I hear that broken heart. I hear that heart that is crying out to me. I will not cast away the cries of my children. What parent hears her child crying in the other room is going to try to go back to sleep? Especially if you hear somebody trying to break in the room. The enemy is trying to break in your homes. He wants to destroy your testimony, destroy your life. Shane, this isn't a very positive day. I'm tired of positive. Positive is not going to cut it. It's not, I'm telling you. Every single book I've read on revival, and they're this high, began when men and women were broken before God, repenting of their sin. Not thinking your best life now and having wonderful thoughts of pleasure and what Jesus can bless you with. That never brings revival. Never, because it's self-focus, selfishness. So, and then it says, keep yourself in the love of God. What does keep mean? It means to retain possession of, to keep the course, to keep away from sin that pulls you away. So there's this keeping. I have to keep the course. And this word keep is interesting in the Greek language. You have this image. I think Charles Swindoll gave this image of this vessel on the sea, and it drifts a little bit, but it keeps the course. You know that, right? When a boat goes from the Atlantic to the Pacific, it's not a perfect straight line. Perfect. Hey, we're off 5 degrees starboard. We're off, and it's keeping the course. So don't beat yourself up. Well, Shane, I could never live up. I'm not perfect. I have this issue. Well, we all have issues. This is the issue, church. The real church of God recognizes that we are saints, but we all struggle with the flesh. And we come to encourage, not beat up. We come to build up, not pull down. But sometimes sermons will convict and will pull down. How else do you change if you're not convicted? So keep yourself in the love of God. It means to keep the course. If you're falling off, get back on. If you know you're doing something you should not be doing, get rid of it and get back on course. Keeping that. That's what the Christian faith is. This was a mind-boggling just eye-opening truth for me. When I first came back to the Lord, I was thinking, oh man, I'm going to be in God's will. Everything's going to be great. Life's going to be wonderful. This is going to be so good. And then I started to read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs. 11 of the 12 disciples were killed for their faith. This is actually a relationship to God is dying to self, dying to the world, and from time to time, dying in our physical body. It's a message of death that has great hope. We'll be the person who thinks Jesus is going to fix their problems. And I will tell people that, though. I will say, listen, you need to turn your life over to God. He can rebuild your life, but you need to get rebuilt spiritually first. That's the foundation. Because people say, oh, God, if you would just help me in this business endeavor, if you just get my marriage back, and then something works out, and then they leave God. Because they didn't understand the depth of their sin, the depravity of their own heart. Because when you understand that, and you say, God, save me from that, you he's your anchor. You couldn't pull somebody apart. Now, they might falter, and they might struggle in it, but they realize what God has done for them. And then this other one is kind of hard, looking for mercy. So keep yourself in the love of God and looking for mercy. Who's looking for mercy? Because this is hard, because it involves loving others. Do you have a cold and calloused heart? Are you looking for opportunity to love others? Look, you have to look for those. You have to go and do that. Here's how it works often. I don't feel like going to the hospital homes. Feel, I don't. You catch that word? Feel like it. But I'm going to look for opportunities. And then once you go and you begin to help others, then the blessing of peace comes. And it follows obedience. That's one thing else. One thing you should know also about your Christian walk is the blessing of peace, the blessing of joy comes after, often. After the right decision. Not before it. That's why people, they end up praying for a while, and they're praying in the morning, then they have peace, then they have joy, because they had to battle through the pull of the flesh. And then verse 22, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. So he's saying, okay, on some people have compassion, make a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So on some people we are to have compassion, but others we are to warn. Now this is interesting. This was a garment. A garment was a symbol of things affected by the stench of the flesh. So he's saying don't just hate the flesh. Hate even the garment, the things that touch the flesh. Whatever touches the flesh. Well, how does that apply to us now? I'm glad you asked. You should hate whatever pulls you away from God. That's why many people fall back into the sin. They don't hate it enough. They actually, if the truth be told, enjoy it a little bit. And that's what pulls them back. There's not a crucifixion. There's a comfort in going back to that sin. So he said here, hate even the garment that is defiled. Whatever defiles the flesh. Whatever defiles the flesh. I love when men come up to me and go, do you see this? What is that? That's a flip phone. That's old school. What's wrong with you? Say, I'm done with pornography. I'm going old school. See, they hate what defiled. They hate what pulled them back. Or the person, Shane, I've disconnected all this junk in my house. I feel so alive with God. See, that's how serious they are. It's a person who says, well, I'd like to go back and fiddle with sin. I don't want to get that extreme. That's the other thing. I don't want to get that extreme. You hear that guy up there at the pulpit, the bald head? Now that's extreme. That guy is extreme. Well, in Christianity, there's not a middle ground, folks. You're lukewarm or you're carnal, or you're void of the Spirit of God, you're quenching, grieving the Spirit of God, or you're alive with the Spirit of God. And to be alive with the Spirit of God, you cannot stay in the middle. So what you call extreme is actually biblical Christianity. The last time I checked, dying to yourself, picking up your cross and following Christ unconditionally sounds pretty extreme. unless I'm exegetically not interpreting that correctly, and I didn't look at the Greek nuances and the verbs, if they were in the present participle or if they're in the active tense. I mean, I don't know, but that sounds pretty narrow, pretty extreme. And what we found, what you know, for you, for those of you who are labeled extreme, is it's the abundant life. It's a Christ-centered, spirit-filled life. Doesn't mean you don't struggle with sin, but it is this abundant life. Because I know, living in the middle, I am miserable. Remember that, M&M. Miserable in the middle. And that's why most Christians leave here still miserable. Go to church, miserable. I am miserable. What's wrong with me? Because you're trying to enjoy the things of the world too much. And as I often say, if you don't like what I say or what I'm saying, it's because you need to hear what I'm saying. One of the most amazing things I think that happens, I show some people the emails that come in. I didn't realize how many people don't like me until, you know, emails come in. But they'll say, man, when I first started listening, you were to this or to that or to this, but now I've come to realize that God's word wants full obedience, fully surrender. I've never been more excited, more joy-filled in my life. And that we often hear that. Because see what happens, you hear the word of God come alive and you're convicted, you have a choice. You have a choice. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to convict and work in your life and turn back to God, or do you get bitter and angry and come up with excuses? Remember, the same sun that melts the wax will harden the clay. This will melt your heart or it'll harden you. One or the other. You can watch on YouTube when I did that debate with the atheist at the college and had the closing remarks. Even after that, some people were so hard, so hardened. But one person who was an atheist, he doesn't know what he was, he actually was encouraged by it. Doesn't believe in their God necessarily. What's the difference? It's always the heart. People will always mock God until he brings them to their knees. And then verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, you better get encouraged right now. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I believe that God is able to keep you from stumbling. I believe as a child of God, God holds you. I thank God I don't hold myself. I don't hold myself to the cross. Okay, I'm doing good today. Phil, pray for me. It's going to be a tough week. And then now I'm distant from Christ. Now I don't know him anymore. Now I'm not saved anymore. Then I have to run back. And gosh, that was a close call. No, he holds us. He keeps us from stumbling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There's exceeding joy in the fact that he keeps us. And that's something, if you did not know about this church, I am unapologetically, and I have friends that disagree, I do not believe a person is saved, sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's given to them as a guarantee, he is right here, he keeps us from stumbling, that person can walk away and reject God and lose that salvation. Because it wasn't earned, it wasn't bought for, they didn't save themselves, they were born again, they had a spiritual experience where Almighty God has taken them in and holds them as a child. But people get upset. No, you're giving people license to sin. No, I'm not. If they're sinning and they don't care, they're not saved. I see scriptures of warning. I do. But I also see scriptures like this. If God saves us and you are born again, you are a child of God, you can't undo that any more than you can go undo your birth, your physical birth. God holds us. He makes us stand firm in Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is given to you as a guarantee. So is it a partial guarantee based on what I do? God help, I hope not. And you are sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. Oh, wait a minute, that's a partial seal. You can undo that seal. See, I can't go there. I can't see that. But Shane, what about Hebrews 6? Those who have been tasted the good things of God, those who have been enlightened by the things of God, those who have partook of the things of God, if they fall away, they will not be able to renew it again to salvation. What about that? Well, Judas Iscariot partook in the things of God. He was enlightened. He participated. What happened to him? He was not renewed into repentance. And I know people, can you lose your salvation? Can you? And there's a big debate. And I love pastors that, and, you know, we can agree to disagree. Many of you know I was on Dr. Michael Brown's show, and we disagree in this area. We don't talk about it. We don't argue about it. There are scriptures that warn of holding on to Christ, abiding in the vine, don't fall away, don't turn back. But there's also a lot of scriptures on God keeping me from stumbling, holding me together. He's my Father, a loving Father who has saved me. And that saved is not a condition on my performance. That salvation is not a condition on, okay, if I hold on this week, if I hold on really strong and really tight, it's based on assurance. Today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't tell the thief on the cross, well, hold on. Hold on till that last minute because you could go either way here. And I'm not trying to mock that. I just don't see how a person supernaturally infused by the Spirit of God, who now has the Holy Spirit residing in them, is now saved by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, how they can just throw that in the trash and go back to, I love this sin. Now I'm not saved. And then can they go to Billy Graham's gone, but Greg Laurie crusade and now they're saved again? And then here comes that sin again. 3 years later, man, I was saved 2 years ago, and let's go back to, you know, and this constant battle, I don't see that. I just don't see that in Scripture. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into communion in just a minute. And it says, whoever eats this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner may be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. Did you catch that? Paul. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, sometimes we need to hear the hard things to soften our hearts. Lord, I don't want to do this. So Paul is saying we need a heart check. We need a heart check before communion. But there was a verse that all week I've been just contemplating and meditating on. In verse 23, I don't know if we can put that up there at all. The portion of, if not, it's not a biggie. It says, but others save with fear. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Because they're following, they're following false teachers, clouds without water, carried about by winds, late autumn trees, twice dead, raging waves of shame, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom it is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Did you catch that? I don't know, maybe it just kind of leaped out at me, but there is eternity is separated from God. Blackness and darkness forever. Why in the world do we believe some of the truth? Jesus is good. I love Jesus. God is love. I love it. But not the hard truths. There's eternity separated from God. Primary purpose of clouds is rain, is nourishment. You know the hydro, what do they call it? The hydrostatical whatever, where the clouds pick up the rain. And condensation over the ocean. Come on, let's go back to, is this biology or science? Not sure. But you go back and the clouds drop the rain, hydrostatic, something like that. And it drops the rain on the mountains and the snow and the rivers, and here comes the water again back in the ocean. The clouds pick up that water. That right there tells me, Creator, that did not just evolve. That is impossible to evolve. So that's a whole nother sermon. But the clouds are bringing this in. He's saying, you're clouds without water. You have no purpose. There's no nourishment. There's no life. There's no vitality. You are unproductive trees. You exist, but you profit nothing. You wander and you cause people to wander like waves billowing up against the coast there. You have shame filling your heart. You're like a wandering stars. And I just sat there and pondered this. I can't imagine living my whole life. Think about this. 70, 80, 90 years living your whole life unproductive, fruitless in the things of God, wandering, waves of shame, stars with no light, wandering their entire life, and then they're cast in outer darkness. Can you imagine? We talk about you wasted your life. That's a wasted life. I can't imagine wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. See, there is a hell where there's no light. You can call it whatever you want. You can say, I don't know if there's flames. I don't believe. I don't know, but I know I do not want to be eternally separated from God where there's eternal blackness. You can't even see in front of you because when the light of the world is removed, there's nothing but darkness. He is the light of the world. He keeps the light on. He is more powerful than the sun. He keeps it all together. So when you remove that light and you distance yourself from God, there is eternal darkness. Listen, I'd rather have you hate me and go to heaven then love me and go to hell. That's a false prophet. That's a false prophet. That's a false teacher. Love me, love me, love me and go to hell. Follow me to hell. Let's go. Follow me to hell. Or you hate the preacher and you end up in heaven because God convicts your heart later. Listen, preachers in the Bible do not have a good track record. John the Baptist. Isaiah, sawn in two by wicked King Manasseh. Jeremiah, they were killed. Jesus said, your fathers killed the prophets because they spoke the truth. Any true spokesman of God will upset the entire religious system. They will hate you. Mediocrity, you're challenging their carnality, you're challenging their walk with the Lord. Is it even genuine? I mean, sometimes I go to Palm Springs and I see these big, lovely churches and right out front of the sign, big rainbow. They say, I'm the hater. You're going to hell because God is a God of love. No, you're going to hell because you rejected his son. You rejected the only offer of salvation. So the Bible does paint this grim picture. It paints this picture because you need to run to Christ. You need to run and hold on for dear life and say, Christ, save me. I am lost without you. Yes, the message is hard, but the hope is greater. There's tremendous darkness, but the light is greater. There's tremendous evil and depravity, but there's tremendous holiness and righteousness in the presence of Almighty God. You are seeing a time when true Christians will have to come out from among them. You're seeing this in politics as the line becomes wider. You're seeing this in churches where the line of distinction now becomes wider. There's this big move to embrace those who support LGBT lifestyles. And at this point, I always want to remind you, we love all of those people. We love anybody that struggles with sin. Any, it doesn't matter. We love them enough to tell them the truth. But churches will have to make a decision. They'll begin to silence the voice of truth. They'll begin to remove Romans 1, and there'll become a clear distinction. But Shane, that's so fearful. Boy, you better go and run to the rock. You better run to the one in which no fear dwells. There's perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. I mean, I'm hoping not. I'm praying for revival. I'm praying that God awaken his church. But you have to prepare the people. The bride is not ready. Is the bride ready? No, she's still at the bar this morning, hungover, throwing up out in the parking lot, doesn't want to give up her lifestyle. That bride is not ready. And here comes the king. Where is my bride? Dressed in white and where holiness and purity defined her, where she used to wait for me with prayer and fasting and look for her and be ready. Jesus said, do not be deceived. Don't let your hearts be taken away with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life and that day come upon you unexpectedly. There's an expectation that there should be in our hearts.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground, an encouragement of God's Word from Pastor Shane Eidelman of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, just west of Palmdale in Southern California. Find out more about the ministry and also stream the Sunday services live at westsidechristianfellowship.org. Look for Pastor Shane's messages on YouTube and follow the ministry on Facebook and Twitter. And hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. Thank you for listening to Regaining Lost Ground. And remember, times change. Truth does not. Touch my lips.